haters are going to find all kinds of ways to discredit it, to put us as Leaf fans down. But when you're a long-suffering Toronto Maple Leaf fan, as you and I both are,
long,
a division championship is nice. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, like, after clinching the division, I did sit back and go, this feels good. And the fact that it was really never in doubt. Like, they've had moments so far this season where they've come back to the pack and then extended and then come back to extend it. But there really hasn't been a point this year where we've been like, they're not going to come in first in the division.
Yeah, they've been like at least, 4 to 6 points clear since the start. And run the numbers. This is the second division win since the 60s.
Yeah.
Like, the if you actually sit...
21 years since the last division title.
If you sit back and really take in, like, the lack of success this organization has had and how big the fan base is and how loyal people are to this team and how just a hot topic they are for all hockey fans, it's pretty shocking to take in the lack of success they have. So, I mean, we got big playoffs coming up. There's obviously stuff that's happened the past couple of years, but if you really sit back, big picture... As a Leaf fan, winning a division, that's awesome. Put that on the resume. Doesn't happen very often. So coming into a Canadian division where you could be competitive with all Canadian fan bases, coming out with that W feels pretty nice.
It does. It felt vindicated. And then, the Saturday night against Montreal, they fall behind. And then it's just, even with the amount of guys currently out, you just know, like, they're gonna be okay. They're gonna come back and win this.
Yeah.
And so this brings us to the focal point. It's like, yes, the division title is nice. Way to go. Should be proud of yourselves for that. But we all know and we all knew going into this season what they were gonna be judged upon, and that's playoff success. It's looking pretty clear like they're going to play the Habs in the first round. There could be some. There's a week left in the season. I don't know off the top of my head how many games left the Habs and Jets have. I know the Leafs have 2 games left. But
I think it's looking pretty clear cut that it's going to be Habs, Leafs in the first round.
How do we feel about this? I think, they've played the Habs 3 straight games. They're clearly the better team. However, the Habs are missing Carey Price.
Yeah.
They're missing Shea Weber. And who else are they missing? They're missing a bunch of other guys, too.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we know when day one of the playoffs start, game one.
Brendan Gallagher.
Anything that happened before in the regular season, especially how much they're playing each other end of the year and how the Leafs are playing them, look like they're going to be successful. To me, heading into this series, if they are playing the Habs, I'm having the hardest time walking the line between confident and cautious, because it's one conversation about how this team should have no issues winning the first round against the Montreal Canadiens based off the success they've had this whole year and how they're the best team in the division.
Yes.
But you know that, man, like you go down game one, it's like everything that we've been stoked about all year is just gone. It's out the window. So,
well, and that was kind of driving me nuts. Like I know we're getting down the line here. So TSN Sportsnet, like, they have to drum up interest to get you to watch the games. But you're like losing me a little bit this week with it's just a playoff preview. It's like, when they drop the puck on game one, none of this matters.
I know.
The Leafs winning the division matters. Doesn't matter. The Habs coming in fourth doesn't matter. Like, it's a brand new season. And listen, a lot of things to feel good about. I can talk. See, you take a couple weeks off and you lose.
Yeah, you just kind of lose those abilities that you had before.
To flow smoothly. I'm a disaster.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things to be excited about this season. We already talked about winning the division. Auston Matthews, 40 goals. The emergence of Jack Campbell as like the clear-cut starting goaltender. The Matthews and Marner pairing together. Rasmus Sandin, like Zach Hyman before he got hurt, became a legitimate top six player. But none of that matters.
Yeah.
Like, if you lose in the first round of the Montreal Canadiens, like, we're not going to be like, oh, well, at least Matthews had a 40-goal campaign.
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happened. If you lose in the first round, it's... Again, walking the line between cautious and confident, I think a first round, like, they need to win the first round. Like, yes. Come on, like, this is not even a conversation, which is why that line is so hard, because it's like they need to win the first round. But then you're like, you know, everything that happened before this doesn't matter. So it's, we're really going to see, like, game one, game two. Like, who knows? I don't think by any means they're going to sweep any team in this division at all.
This is Toronto Maple Leafs we're talking about here. Every series they're in is going at least six games.
Yeah, like, I think there's going to be, like, a six gamer no matter what. It's just the playoffs are too difficult. It's too competitive. The Habs do have some dudes who are scrappy dudes and who can show up and play, quote-unquote, playoff hockey. So, man, anything could happen. Like, I don't know. I think we should hold our expectations to that Final Four for sure. Yeah. But, man, it's just, you don't know, man. Like, don't know.
Anything short of the Final Four is a failure in my eyes. Like, especially when you've like we just said, you've spent the last few months just rolling your division.
Yeah, they've been rolling all year, and it's 5-on-5. Like, they are one of the most productive hockey teams in the whole league, and it's, man, they've been pretty consistent this year. Like, we've always talked about, there's plenty of, go back in our archives, there's so many episode titles that you've come up with about inconsistency.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's at least the word consistent at least like five times in all those episode titles.
Well, and after the Saturday night's game against the Habs, Sheldon Keefe, when asked about, like, you know, locking up the division or whatever, and like just the success they've had this season, he said our ability to keep the puck out of our own net is why we're
100%. Yeah, they've done a way better job defensively. This is the first time where, yeah, they don't have a Hedman or Pietrangelo or a number one guy that you usually go through the list of Stanley Cup champions, and you can mark one guy that's like, this guy's playing 25 minutes a night. He's taking all the hardest matchups. I don't know if they have a guy like that, but they're just 6D that they can rotate in and out, whether Sandin's in the lineup or Bogosian comes back in. I think they've taken a massive step in terms of their top six defensemen and they just, I feel a little more comfortable going into the playoffs with these six guys compared to the guys of the past.
Well, man,
for sure.
They've also accumulated depth up front too. Like you look at, like, where's Alex Galchenyuk going to play? Like when you drop the puck on game one, presumably if you have Zach Hyman and Nick Foligno, where is Alex Galchenyuk going to play? Third line?
I mean,
because he's earned a spot. That dude has earned a spot.
It's going to be hard to take him out of the lineup, yeah. Which is why a guy like Joe Thornton is kind of weird, because it's like, you can't take Big Joe out of the lineup. Like, yeah. I don't think you can. I don't think it's a good look. I know at the end of the day, it's all about the guys who are playing the best should play, but you got this guy for this reason, to come into the playoffs and help the younger guys or the core just kind of learn about being a veteran and what it takes. So it's going to be hard to take a guy like that out of the lineup. But you're right. Like, you start adding everyone together, and it's like, can you take Galchenyuk out of the lineup? Like, no, you can't.
No.
So it's like, you're going to have to do some serious juggling, and maybe someone will play themselves out of the lineup at some point. But,
well, you're going to get some guys sitting out who don't necessarily deserve to be sitting out. Like, I will admit that I am always poking fun at Pierre Engvall. Guy's got 3 goals in 3 games because he just knows,
yeah,
like, I got to stay in the lineup.
I know.
And especially, like, with Riley Nash potentially coming back, who's a good, like, fourth line penalty killing
centerman.
Man,
it's going to be tough to come back for him, though, because it's like, you've been sitting out all this time and you come back and you're going to hop into the playoffs immediately.
Hockey,
it's pretty tough. You have no chemistry with anybody you're playing with. Like, it's a great problem to have. That's everyone talks about is organizational depth. So having multiple guys to plug in if other guys aren't contributing is everything, really. But it's, yeah, man, like, I don't know what the game one starting lineup's going to look like and who's going to be healthy. Who someone could get hurt.
Yeah.
Game one, game
well,
two.
That,
like,
brings me to
know,
my next
right?
point. That brings me to my next point. What are you doing for these final two games? I understand that Austin Matthews is a competitor, and I understand he probably doesn't want to just stop at 40. He wants to get 42, 43. But, like, you will never forgive yourself. Sheldon Keefe, Kyle Dubas will never forgive themselves if in these last two games against Ottawa and Winnipeg that mean absolutely nothing. Like, division's locked up, playoff spots locked up. He doesn't need to be out there. And I'm firmly in the camp of, like, don't dress him.
Really? I'm kind of in the other camp,
no,
to be honest
no,
with you. I'm
don't.
In the camp of, you need to keep guys fresh,
dude,
man.
If he gets hurt.
I know.
But they're still going to have, I get what you're saying. Like, you want to stay in game shape.
Yeah.
But, like, look at the how spaced out the games are this week. It's Ottawa on Wednesday, and then I think Winnipeg on Friday.
I don't know, man. Like, it's hard to sit around and, like, have all this momentum and be scoring at the clip he's scoring at and everyone producing at the rate they're producing at. And it's to just sit around and kind of do nothing for a bit. It's like you're practicing and you're moving. But, man, like,
if he gets hurt, you're screwed. Like, so that's what I kind of I'm just kind of the opinion that, like, play it safe or limit their minutes. Like, let them play.
Yeah, see, that makes more sense for me. It's like, let's get Jason Spezza more on the ice than, limit the minutes, because I don't think it's good for guys to sit out for too long. I know injury is everything, and I'll probably feel stupid if they do get injured in the last two games. There's no doubt, but I just try to keep the most positive outlook and best case scenario in my mind as possible that they're not going to get hurt. And I think it's very important for guys to stay in game shape. I think if you sit around for too long, I think it's kind of a kiss of death. It's going to take you at least a game or two to start the playoffs to kind of get back into it. And but the schedule is all kind of like, aren't they going to be sitting around for a bit anyways?
Yeah,
because the Canucks kind of have to catch up, which is
stupid.
I mean, like, what do you do if you're the NHL at this point, right? It's like they got to play their games, but it's a waste. Yes. So, like, it's a complete waste of time.
It's stupid.
So it's whatever.
Let these guys go back and be with their families. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. Second thing I want to talk to you about: Freddie Anderson played a full game with the Marlies on Saturday. Did not look very good. He looked like he was in mid-season form, actually, with some of the goals he was allowing. He's done. Like, he's done. Like, I know there's some discussion about, like, getting him in to play one of these two final games, but to me, he's done. Like, you're done. Jack Campbell has earned the number one spot, and then David Rittich is the backup heading into the playoffs.
Jack Campbell, I everyone knows, if you listen to this podcast for a long time, you're a first-time listener, I'm always a Freddie Anderson backer. I think what he's done for this team for the past couple of years has been phenomenal. And I've kind of tried my hardest to not discount Campbell, but to be like kind of pump the brakes on him. But dude, like, you're looking at 17-2-2 with a save percentage over .920 and a good goals against average, best win loss span of 21 games in Maple Leaf history for a goaltender. This guy has more than earned his chance to be the number one goalie for this hockey team, man. Like, more than earned. Got above and beyond.
Yeah, during that stretch, not to cut you off, but I want to tack onto your point. During that stretch, does he allow the odd stinker?
Yeah, but that's every goalie.
But he comes back after and makes the big save.
Dude, this guy's ability to make a big save at a big time is uncanny, and that's everybody's criticism of Frederick Anderson.
Yeah.
The problem with this city and this stupid half of the fan base is you let in one bad goal and it's just like a wham-wham fest. Yeah. It's like, dude, every goalie in the league gives up a bad goal. That's the position. That's the nature of the position. When you're facing 20 to 40 shots every single night, how can you not let in a stinker every once in a while?
Or when you're an ace pitcher and sometimes you're on
you're awful.
But you just leave one hanging over the plate and it gets crushed.
It's just like, you're playing goaltender against the best hockey players in the world. Like, you're going to get exposed at some point. But anybody who doesn't think that Jack Campbell's earned an opportunity to be the number one goalie and is still talking about Frederick Anderson, it's like,
I don't think anyone is arguing who the starter is in game one. I think we're all pretty aligned on, like, it's Jack Campbell's net, but I think people are like, well, where's Freddie slot? And does he back Campbell up? Basically, the depth chart right now is like, Fred's been off to the side and it's been Campbell, Rittich, Hutch. And to me, going into game one, based on what I saw yesterday in the American Hockey League, Campbell, Rittich, Anderson.
I mean, the point could be made for that for sure, but I disagree. I think if Freddie Anderson's healthy, I put Rittich down and I put Freddie back up, because the only scenario I see Frederick Anderson getting any sort of redemption is if Jack Campbell goes out and poos the bed, and all the expectations of Frederick Anderson have now gone from here down to here. So,
technical difficulties.
Yeah, technical difficulties here.
Oh, there we go. We're back.
All right. So, like, I think expectations are everything for anybody. And Frederik Anderson's expectations have always been this high because he's the number one guy and he needs to perform in the playoffs. And now all of a sudden, Jack Campbell is gone ahead of him a little bit. So you get Frederik Anderson back on your bench as a backup and Campbell plays well and he just sits
there. You're hoping this sparks the emotional.
Yes, because now it's competitive, man. Yes, like now it's legit competitive because he's not the number one guy anymore. And going into next year, I mean, Jack Campbell has no resume whatsoever. Yeah. Like, let's look back on his career. Guy's no resume. But you know what? Doesn't matter. You can step in at any point and become the guy.
He's under contract.
Yeah, and he's the guy right now. Yeah. He's played amazing. Yeah, like, he's been phenomenal. Yeah. Like, I get, like, kind of goosebumps thinking about how a guy like him, who they just picked up for jack all, has come in and done such a good job. And I think the only scenario Freddie Anderson sees a game is if Campbell starts pooping the bed. And it's like, do you really want to go to David Riddick?
No.
Like, I know David Riddick and Frederik Anderson right now, like Anderson letting in 4 goals in the American Hockey League. I mean, it is what it is. But I'm sorry, you've got this guy who has all this history with this team, who's got probably a fire in him for some reason. And I think if you put him on the bench as the backup, even though he hasn't seen much NHL action over the past couple weeks or months or whatever, and when he hasn't looked very good, but I think having him in the backup position is the way to go for me, because I don't think David Riddick can get the job done anyways. And when Frederik Anderson's playing at his best, he's a pretty damn good goalie. Yeah. So I'll take Freddie Anderson. I'll take a chance on him playing his best than Riddick playing his best. So I think you put Freddie Anderson back in the backup position. You take kind of the expectations off him. So when he does play, it's a little more like, you know what? I'm working with nothing right now. Yeah. Everyone already hates me. So
you got me coming around on that idea. You got me coming around.
All right. I just don't think David Riddick is anything. That's my thing too.
Next thing I wanna throw at you here. It's over. It's done. There is no longer a discussion. I don't even want to entertain any other take. Auston Matthews is the greatest hockey player to ever put on the blue and white Maple Leaf jersey. He is a lock to win the Rocket Richard. He would be in the lock for the heart if McDavid wasn't having a stupid season points-wise. And it's over. Like, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
Is he better than him in 93?
I'm a Dougie guy. I'm a Doug Gilmore guy.
So you think Auston Matthews this season has been better than him in that season?
Ryan, he's locked to win the Rocket Richard. You said earlier, like, if you look at, like, the lack of success about winning a division.
He's the greatest.
When's the last Maple Leaf to win an individual award? Ever. Auston Matthews, the Calder Trophy.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. Like, this guy, you know what I saw the other day? Because there's been all this hype around McDavid getting 100 points. And, like, by the way, last night during the intermission, they show how McDavid has 100 points in, like, 52 games, whatever it is. And then they show Mario has 100 points in 38, not once, but twice. That is ridiculous.
Well, this guy would have won the Hart in 92, 93 if Mario didn't go get 199 points or whatever the hell he got.
It's just absurd.
Yeah.
But I saw a comparison the other day that I loved because it brought me back to my childhood, that McDavid is the modern day Wayne and Matthews is the modern day Mario. And I love that comparison. I love it.
Yeah, they're two most electric players in the game. But I will say that even though at the start of the pod, we were talking about how, even though they don't talk to us about the North Division, we're happy that the Leafs have won this thing and the competition or whatever. But I do think that both those guys wouldn't be having the success they're having if they didn't play the North Division all year. Like, McDavid does not have 100 points right now, and this guy does, and Auston Matthews does not have 40 goals right now if they're not playing the Calgary Flames and the Jets and the Canucks and the Senators and
so you
over
think if,
and over and over
so
again.
So you think if they were in the East Division with, like, the Penguins and the Bruins?
Yeah,
and
I don't think Auston Matthews has 40 goals right now. I don't. And that's not because I don't think he's capable of it. He is. But I just think, especially McDavid's 100 points. Like, this guy's getting, if you look at this guy's stat line, like, it's gross. Like, he gets at least 3 points a game.
Yeah.
Like, it's disgusting. And I don't think if he's going and playing the Avalanche and the Vegas Golden Knights that he's at 100 right now. So I do think playing in the North Division has helped those guys have those, like, ridiculous stats.
And I have no hate against Connor McDavid whatsoever. I have nothing but respect for the guy. He's literally one of Like,
he's the best hockey player.
Wayne was I was a kid when Wayne played, and it's like I don't really have vivid memories of watching Wayne, and neither do you, but like he's the most electric hockey player I've ever seen. However, Matthews wears this jersey. So I'm an Austin Matthews guy. And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, and I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm going to knock on wood. But if the Leafs and Oilers meet each other in the second round, it's personal. Like, Austin Matthews has to win that series. It's personal.
That's a very, like, we're kind of getting ahead here, but, like, the Oilers have had a damn good year, too,
yes,
man.
Yes,
like,
and they've gotten some good.
Dummying. Like, yeah. Mike Smith is.
Here's the thing about the three other playoff teams, okay? Yeah. We just sang the praises of Jack Campbell, and rightly so.
Yeah.
But the thing about the three other playoff teams in the Canadian division is if the Habs have a healthy Carey Price, that's legit.
Yeah.
Connor Hellebuck, Vezina Trophy winner.
They've had a tough go with, like, Nick Ehlers getting injured. They've had a tough go with player injuries, but yeah, for
and
sure.
Mike Smith has had, like, a resurgent year.
He's had a great year. So, his numbers are off the charts.
And what did we see last year in the bubble against Columbus? Once Columbus
suck.
Yeah, well, but once Columbus started playing playoff-style hockey and leaning on them and they didn't have any space, they couldn't score goals anymore.
Yeah.
So, and you don't think every single team is going... You've even seen it at times with the Habs, like the...
Well, I think the Habs are way more capable of playing that Columbus style than the Edmonton Oilers are. You get a Leafs Oilers second round.
It's going to be electric.
Buddy, it's going to be it's interesting, too, because the Leafs are the only team. If you look at McDavid's stat lines, the Leafs are the only team that have completely shut him down.
Yeah.
So I think the Habs almost are scarier in a way because I think the Habs can, with hopefully Shea Weber's like 100% for them and Brendan Gallagher, I think they're more capable of playing that style of shutting them down than the Oilers are.
Can I tell you something? Can I just say something about the Habs? I've gotten a taste the last month or whatever it's been of like how annoying it is hearing the Leafs and like Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares. If I hear the two words Cole Caulfield one more time,
the overtime legend.
I'm going to break my TV. Shut up about Cole Caulfield.
Yeah.
He's a good, small, little rookie player. Oh, my God, Ryan. You'd think he was the second coming of Gretzky, the way the media just talks about Cole Caulfield.
He's got nothing else to
talk about. He lined up beside Marner during the faceoff last night. And Marner's like towers over the. He's just a little guy.
Yeah.
Like. Oh, I'm so sick. And then he got the OT winner the other night. I'm like, oh my God, here we go. Another 3 days of just hearing Cole Caulfield over and over again.
You can do to drum up an exciting narrative at this point of the season. I think any media company is jumping at that because it's been been wrapped up for a while, bro.
Today's like, an episode of me making proclamations, and I'd like to make another one. At the beginning of this season, I was like, man, the Canadian division, this is great.
We both said it.
Oh, this play down the stretch here where it's just like the series last week where they go have to go play Vancouver again. I'm just like.
Well, I think that's because just where the points and the standings have been. Yes. If there was four teams all within 2 points of each other,
every game would be huge.
Then it would be like, okay, like if there was a battle to get in those four spots, then it'd be something. But it's been wrapped up for a bit now.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main reason. But yeah, I'm with you. Like I was here with you first episode in the studio talking about how awesome this division is, and it flat out sucks. I'm gonna be honest.
Like, but we're still stoked on winning it.
Oh, yeah, for
sure.
We're
still stoked on winning
it. But, like, definitely the keenness of paying attention to every single possession during a 60 minutes has declined.
Even the game last night, like, I had moments last night, and, like, they came back and won, and it was exciting. But, like, I had moments where I was sitting there, and my eyes are glazing over a little bit because it's just, like, Hyman's not in the lineup. Foligno's not in the lineup. They've basically locked everything up. Like, there's no – like, the Habs are so boring to watch. Like,
oh, yeah.
Which – to your point, it makes them kind of scary.
Yeah.
But they're so boring to watch, and it's just like, oh, my God, like, can we just – it's so funny because it's a shortened season, and it feels like we've been – and it's because – you're right. It's because it's been locked up.
Yeah.
It feels like we are crawling to the finish
line. Oh, we have been, man. Yeah. We have been, especially how impatient you are when you know your team's good and you're dying to see – where they're going to go in the playoffs. And it's like, I got another 10 games of this crap. Yeah. Like, wow. I want to watch this.
Well, there's only two games left in the Leaf regular season, and then we're going to be here, and we're going to be teeing up all the playoff games and doing post-game shows after all the playoff games, and just, I'm jacked up, man. I'm jacked up for some Leaf playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's kind of made me, like, reflect on the season a bit, though, and think about all the stuff I love about, I think the guy who doesn't get enough credit in all this, and maybe he does, but we don't really talk about it, is Sheldon Keefe. Like, I think Sheldon Keefe is just, like, just a legend. Like, the guy's amazing. I think my favorite thing he's done this whole year, because he's considered a quote-unquote line juggler, is keeping Marner and Matthews together. We had a serious conversation about that in one of our episodes about how switching up the guys to switch up the depth. Auston Matthews does not have 40 goals this year if he's not playing with Mitch Marner every single night, no question. And that's just where I'm at, and I'm so happy that he's kind of just tried to get Tavares and Nylander to figure it out themselves on that line, because I think though Marner and Matthews together is just like, it's so dynamic. Like, they dominate almost, like, they dominate over 50% of their shifts. Like, it's just been my favorite part of this whole team, especially with the complete Jamoke who was coaching this team before.
I was gonna say, who would
give it a one shift chance and it didn't work out and they'd be gone. And it's like, I get that good players can drive a line together, but they can't do something special when they're not together, you know?
He should never get another head coaching job, ever, based on Matthews and Marner's performance together this season.
I know, and it's like, these two guys, like, yeah, they're good enough to drive their own lines, but, man, they can't do anything special if they're not together. Yep. And that's just letting them, just no question, those guys can walk in the room every single day and know that they don't even need to look at the lines. They know they're together.
But this is what I was talking about earlier about the depth. Like, so you have two guys now on your roster. Granted, they're both hurt, but all intents and purposes are they'll be back in time for game one. You have two guys now on your roster who you can put with them because they generate all the skill and you just need a guy who plays hard and hits people and gets the puck back. Yeah. You have two guys who can do that now. And if I'm going to make a prognostication here, I'm guessing when they drop the puck on game one, it'll be Hyman.
I think it should be.
That'll be on the wing with them, and it'll be Foligno on the second line with Tavares and Nylander.
I think 100% Hyman deserves that spot. Yes. That guy has just been ridiculous every single game he's played this year. So I think he for sure belongs in that spot, 100%.
Well, only time will tell as we head towards the postseason, and that's going to do it for us today, buddy. Thanks, everyone, for downloading and checking us out. If you like what you see, head to our Instagram, @TalkinBudsPodcast. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Like, subscribe, leave a review. Every little bit helps, and we really appreciate it. We'll catch you guys next time.
Come on, let's go to the Blue Hotel. At the Blue Hotel.
The podcast that goes everywhere the imagination dares. It's for the open-minded, the pleasure seeker. It's Jeff Woods with the new podcast about relationships and sexuality. Theme-based with special guests. The Blue Hotel Hotline. And every episode climaxes with an adult bedtime story. Get a room and listen in at the Blue Hotel. Begins Friday, September 23rd.
Do, Did, Will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.